Good morning. I'd like to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 14. Paul writes, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep." It is with a heavy heart I do stand here before you today. The passing of Jason Truitt will affect many people. Many of the members here and attenders here will be affected, but no one's life will be affected more than Jerry Ann's. This is a time of great mourning for them as they miss their husband and they miss their dad, and it is okay to cry. In fact, I would say it is healthy and necessary sometimes to cry, because sadness in the death of a loved one is a real emotion, because we will miss them. We will miss them. At the passing of Lazarus, Jesus wept. Jesus wept because he was deeply moved and he was greatly troubled, we see in Scripture. The Jews said, "See how he loved him." We cry because we are deeply moved and greatly troubled. Sorrow and crying are normal and they are healthy. Reactions that we should not hold back if they need to come out. So it is with heavy heart that Jason's family is going to press on in the grace and care and love of God. And it is with heavy heart you sit there as the reality of Jason's passing will come and it will hit you. And it is with a heavy heart that I speak to you today. It is good, it is very good that we grieve together as a body, that we share the burden with the Truitts as a body of Christ. But along with our heavy hearts, we must live with a spirit of hope. Hope in Christ. My heart is heavy, but my heart is lifted with the hope that we have in Christ. In the midst of this sadness, we don't grieve as others do who have no hope. Verse 14, I'll read it again. "For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep." Jason belongs to God. And we know and we believe that Jason is in his true home right now, his true home that will become our true home, and we will be with him and we will be with God, worshiping with Jason forever. Brothers and sisters, we have heavy hearts and we love Jerry Ann and we love her boys and we bear the burden with them, but we also have great hope. So let's encourage them through this time. Let's pray together. Father, it is the greatest example of sweet sourness that one can have. The reality of losing a loved one, pressed with the reality that he is with you. We will miss him. We will love him. He is in our hearts. But we know he's with you. We know that he's in paradise right now with you, his heavenly Father, and that we will be united with him again one day. So, Father, we do pray, as our hearts are heavy, that we would share that burden amongst each other, but that wouldn't end there, Lord, that we would be encouraging one another with this passage itself. Those who have died in Christ are united with you, and we'll all be together, Father. May that be the encouragement to all of us. May that be the encouragement to the Truitt family. So I do pray now, Father, as we look at the message today, the sermon today, I pray that you would anoint me to preach, Father, and I pray your Spirit then would move me to preach with power and authority of your word, and that your Spirit then would unite your word and the power of your word and authority of your word together in their hearts, and that we would believe in a deeper way, and that we would love you in a deeper way, and that we would love each other as you have intended. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So today I wanted to go back to Ephesians chapter 2, if you want to turn there, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It's the same passage that Pastor Dave brought us last week. Over the past several weeks, since Pastor Dave's been back from his sabbatical, he's been focusing on the two ordinances. He's been focusing on baptism and the Lord's Supper. And for me, they have been eye-opening and life-changing messages. They have brought the baptism and communion into a new life for me, into life, made it alive for me. Through God's Word, we have seen their importance, we have seen their beauty, and we have seen God's goodness towards us by giving us these ordinances. And last week we saw, and Pastor Dave pressed on something that is near and dear to my heart as he prepared to feed us from the table of the Lord's Supper last week. That something is the truth of unity of the body. We are all one in Christ. We are all one in Christ. So what we're going to do today is I'm going to review what we learned last week in Philippians, and then I want to press it a little further. Last week we saw that what unity looks like and what drives unity. Where does it come from? And it comes from the heart. Actually, Scripture lays it out the opposite way. You have seen these riches in Christ. You have these riches in Christ, which should affect your heart to pour out these riches on one another, is the way Dave was putting it. So we had two solid points last week on unity. Point number one was how to develop unity. How does that develop? And point number two was what it looks like. What does unity look like? And then this week I want to add two more. I'm going to press into two more. So point number three will be the standard or the goal that is set for us. The standard or the goal, actually the standard or the goal of the love that's set for us. And number four is the purpose. God's purpose for willing us, right? He wills us to be united. He works in us to unite us. So what's his purpose for doing that? What's his purpose for unity in the body? So it's a short passage. Let's read it together. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 4. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from self-ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significantly than yourselves. Let each of you look not to his own interests, but also the interests of others. Okay, so let's review. Unity. How do we develop unity? How are our hearts changed? Pastor Dave put it something like this. We reflect the glory of the gospel. We reflect the glory of the gospel. We have received great eternal riches in Christ. And in verse 1, there are four of them. Eternal riches we already have in Christ. First, we see encouragement in Christ. Encouragement in Christ. This is encouragement we received for the full forgiveness of sins, being justified in Christ, found not guilty in Christ. That is great encouragement. Another encouragement we find in Christ is we have the promise of sanctification. The promise of sanctification. We will persevere and be made into the image of Christ. Another encouragement in Christ is we will be glorified. In Christ, nothing can ever stop that. An eternal rich that we have already in Christ is, the second one is comfort from love. Comfort from love. This is experience. Experiential Christianity. This is experiencing God. We receive great joy and comfort knowing that God's love acts. God's love is active towards us. God Almighty is our Father who loves us, and God is for us. That is great encouragement in Christ and a comfort from love. So already we have those two, and we also have number three, Participation in the Spirit. Participation in the Spirit. And Pastor Dave put it this way, this is the presence of God being enjoyed by all of us because we are knit together and indwelled with the Holy Spirit. Knit together, united in Christ, is of great comfort as we participate in the Holy Spirit together. Eternal riches we have in Christ. Number four, affection and sympathy. Affection and sympathy. These are all in verse 1. We understand the love and service we receive from other believers and that we give to other believers. So affection and sympathy is a rich we already have. We understand the love and service that we give to each other. That is affection and sympathy. We born-again believers in Christ already have these eternal riches. They belong to all of us. And if that is true, and it is absolutely true based on the Word of God, if this is true, we have these riches in Christ, then here comes the appeal that Paul makes in verse 2. Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Pour these riches now out on each other. You have received these riches and they're changing you from in, so now pour these riches out on one another. We are people affected by the gospel of God, which turns our hearts outward in unity. We're affected by the gospel. It takes effect on us. And now our hearts are turned out towards each other in unity. So what does this look like? Still in verse 2. First, Paul says, be of the same mind. Be of the same mind. We are united in our purposes. We walk arm in arm and mind in mind and heart to heart together for the gospel. We are of the same mind and we are united in our purpose. We are united in our purpose. Number two, having the same love. Having the same love. And he ties these together by saying, being in full accord and of one mind, we are called to the work of loving. We are called to the work of loving. From deep within, we strive together to love and to serve. And three, still in verse 2, we do it with humble hearts and with self-forgetfulness. We live the great commandment. Gospel love results in gospel unity. So those were the 2 points Dave made. How does unity develop? By hearts being transformed by the gospel. And number two, what does unity look like? It's a people united in love and a people united in purpose. So let's move on. And before we do, though, please know that most of what I said is what Pastor Dave said. And I'm a really good listener, not so good a note taker, so I can't really do a lot of two things at once. There's no way. I can't walk and, well, I can't walk. I always fall down, but if I could walk, I wouldn't be able to chew gum. I listened to Pastor Dave's message again on our website, and I was able to pause. I was able to take notes. So most of what I said was Pastor Dave's words. And I'll tell you, it was a blessing to my heart to do that. Please, please use this resource. If you miss a week, go online and listen to it. Or if you missed something or you got a lot from it and want to listen to it again, then go to cbcwallace.org, resources and sermons. That's Country Bible Church, CBC, Wallace. We live in Wallace.org. And I just want to take a moment, a big thank you for those that make this available and do the work to put it up there. So, we went through the first two. Number three is, what is the standard we are called to? We are a people united in love. What's the standard of love that we are called to as a body of believers? And four, people united in purpose. What is the result of being united in love and in purpose? What is the result when this happens? Okay, so first, what's the standard of love? And I would ask, what's the great commandment? And the answer is in a few places. Luke 10:27 is one. I'll read from Matthew 22:36. We're looking for our standard of love. And I'm going to tie it to what's the great commandment. What's the standard in the great commandment for our love? And it's lucky that a Pharisee asked the question. Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? And he, Jesus, said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all of the law and all of the prophets. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and I would add all of your strength. So everything that you are to love the Lord your God, and your neighbor, you're to love as yourself. Those are the two standards that God puts in the great commandment. Boiled down, Scripture is all about God's love for us and our love for Him and our love for others. What is the standard, though, for loving brothers and sisters in Christ? There is a new commandment. There is another standard of love set forth by Jesus. Listen to 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 10. 1 John 2, 7 through 10. John writes, Beloved, I'm writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. But whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 13. The Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 34. So John says, there is no new commandment. At the same time, he says, there is a new commandment. What's going on here? The commandment to love each other as we love ourselves, which would be neighbors or including anybody, really, Christian or not, to love each other as we love ourselves is still true. It'll always be true. But Jesus adds another standard to our love for each other. John 13, 34 through 35. This is Jesus speaking. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. Jesus says, just as I have loved you, that is how you're supposed to love one another. So what's the difference in the standard? Jesus' love is a perfect, godly love. We are to love each other perfectly, fully, completely, and sacrificially. And here is the focus that is truly needed in our concept of love. I believe what he's really getting to, Jesus is pressing the reality and the truth that the godly love he has for us is unconditional. It is unconditional, and therefore the standard we have with each other is we're to love each other unconditionally. Unconditional love. Love without condition. This needs to be at the top of the checklist in our minds, particularly with each other. Checklist one, who? Brother or sister in Christ. Condition, none. I'm going to love them with grace and truth. Remember where we are. We're looking at unity and love and what is the standard. Let's dig a little deeper in the meaning of unconditional love. And I want to start with our love for God, our love towards God. Why do we love God? Why do we love God? And that was a question as I was growing up in Christ and doctrine would be becoming real to me. And I come across the reality that we're to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. And it was just in me, why am I loving God? Why am I loving God? And that's why my search took me to 1 John. And that's the first book I ever preached. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says, we love, why? Because he first loved me. In my sin and as an enemy of God, as the person who nailed Jesus to the cross, he loved me. And he loves us first, and he loves us unconditionally. We love him because he first loved us. Listen now. Our love for God is reactionary towards him, and it is enabled by him, and it is empowered by him. That is conditional love we have for him. That is why we love him with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind, is because he loved us first. And he gave us himself up for us all. And that is exactly why we are able to love each other without condition. God forgave us. We can forgive each other. God had mercy upon us. We can have mercy upon each other. God loved us unconditionally. We can love each other unconditionally. We never, ever, for any reason, no matter what, stop loving a brother or sister in Christ, period. So it means we love each other no matter what. We love the other person first, and we continuously, especially when we are not loved back, we continuously love them. We never stop. Why? Because Jesus loved us first, and he will never, ever, ever, for any reason, stop loving us. This is the standard of being united in love. This is what God desires for us. Picture a body loving this way. The joy, the peace, the unity, the witness, which leads us to our fourth point. What is the standard we're called to? We're called to love unconditionally as Jesus loved us. We are called to love as Jesus does. Which number four then, people united in purpose. What is the result of being united in love and purpose? It is the witness. It is the witness. Our unity reflects the glory of God to a lost and dark world. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. Gospel of John, chapter 17. There are a number of outcomes for being united in Christ and each other. And the ultimate purpose for everything is what? To glorify God. We reflect the reality of Christ when we are united in love. And brothers and sisters, when we are united in purpose and love, we are the true body of Christ. And that has a profound effect on the lost. John 17 is Jesus, the Son of God, praying to Father God, and we see that in verse 1. So, and think about this. The Son of God is praying to his Father who is God. Do you think that this prayer is answered? Absolutely. There is a lot in Jesus' prayer, and I highly recommend that you spend a month in John 17 going through it over and over and slowly and look and pray and meditate on it. We're just going to spend a little time setting it up. In verse 9, we see who Jesus is praying for, those who the Father has given him. And then just to be clear that we are part of this prayer, just to be clear, we are part of this prayer. Look at verse 20 with me. John 17, 20. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That is us. We believe in Christ because of what the apostles did and what was written. That's us. We are part of this prayer. Jesus prayed this prayer for me, and he prayed this prayer for each of you who have believed. So there's, just quickly, there's four specific prayer requests Jesus prays to the Father for. In verse 11, he says to keep us through his, the Father's name, and look at the reason, in order that we may be one as Jesus and him are one. In verse 15, he prays that we will be kept from evil, keep us from evil. And you notice that that prayer to keep us from evil is right before the statement Jesus says, I'm not praying for you to take them out of the world. They're staying there, but keep them from evil. Verse 17 then, sanctify us through truth, his truth, the Father's truth, which is God's word. So he prays us for us to be sanctified. Jesus prayed for us to be sanctified. It is the will of God. We are being sanctified. Verse 24 is the fourth one. Jesus also desires that we be with him where he is. It's a desire more than a direct prayer to do it right now, but I have this desire, and his desire is going to happen. For why? To behold Jesus' glory. Okay, so just to set that up a little bit. Being united in purpose and love, what is the result? That's where we are. Let's look at verses 20 through 23. Three very related results of being united. Watch for them. John 17, 20 through 23. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their word. That's us. That they may be all one, all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us. Why? So that the world may believe that you sent me. Verse 22, the glory that you have given to me, I give to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one. Why? So that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. The result of unity is threefold. Look back at verse 21. So that the world may believe that you have sent me. When we are united in love and purpose, the world believes that God sent Jesus because the glory of Christ is on display. Verse 23, so that the world may know you sent me. Okay, so now we have the world may know, so together with verse 21, when we are united in purpose and in love, the world will know and the world will believe that God sent Jesus. God the Father sent Jesus. Verse 23 again. So that the world may know that you sent me and that the world may know that you loved them even as you loved me. This is really mind-boggling. Our unity, our shared glory in verse 22 pierces the darkness in a sin-cursed world and reveals to the world that God loves us just as he loved Jesus. That's what happens when we are united in love and purpose. There is something special about a church that has received, understands, and believes the great eternal riches we have in Christ. When we understand what Christ has done for us, the eternal riches that are ours in the gospel, when we understand those and believe them and start living them, there is something special about a church who then pours out those riches upon one another in unconditional love. There is something special of a body of believers who are united in purpose and love in Christ. And that something is the love and glory of Christ shining brightly in a dark, dark world. So I would encourage you, explore, read, discuss, meditate over, experience, and believe the riches that you have in the gospel and grow in the love that Christ has intended for the church. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for allowing us to hear what Jesus prayed to you. Thank you for the deep, deep realities of a body that is united and the effect it has on the world around them. And I pray we are that already, Father. I pray you continue to grace us and grow us in this, that Menominee County may experience the glory and the love of Christ through us, that they may know and believe that you sent Jesus, and that they may know and believe that you love Country Bible Church just as you loved your son. So I pray that we would be that witness in this community, Father. I also thank you that you had sent your son to die for us, that repenting of our sin and believing upon the work he did on the cross for us is what saves us. It is what reconciles us to you. It is what then makes us your children. So I pray that anybody in here that has not ever repented and turned to Christ, to walk with him, to believe on him, to lean on him and trust in him, Father, I pray that you would work that out in their lives even today. Again, I thank you for this time. In Jesus' name.